This is The Headline with Brandon Waltons, bringing you the biggest stories from across Texas. The Headline gives you the news you need to be an informed citizen.
Well, hello, everybody. Happy Friday, and thank you for joining us on The Headline with Texas Scorecard. I'm Brandon Waltons, the managing editor of Texas Scorecard. We're going to be talking about some of the big bills right now that are hitting the state legislature. I'm also going to be talking about today is the one-year COVIDversary. It's been essentially 1 year since Governor Greg Abbott issued his first disaster declaration for the coronavirus pandemic. And I'm being joined right here with Jacob Asmussen. Jacob, do you remember? I mean, a year ago.
Wow.
We should have gotten a cake or something, I think, to celebrate the occasion.
Remember when we were free, right?
Yeah, but it's been 1 year. And, you know, we were kind of talking before the show, just thinking about, how much has changed in that 1 year. And if you're watching live right now on Facebook, leave a comment. Maybe what did you think about, what did you expect a year ago? You know, what would you tell yourself back then? Absolutely wild to think about. One of the things that statewide we don't have to deal with anymore, at least due to a new order that went into effect this week, is, of course, a statewide face mask mandate. Governor Abbott erasing that. That went into effect this Wednesday. Yet in Texas's capital city, the mayor and the city council say you still need to mask up. Explain what's going on there.
Yeah, well, it's good to keep in mind, too, that while countless Texans are still struggling from the government-mandated shutdowns over the past year, you have state and local politicians bickering about who can punish unmasked citizens, right? So this week, on Wednesday, Governor Greg Abbott's order to end mask mandates and open Texas 100%, it took effect. But Austin officials said they're still going to enforce, they're still going to force masks on everyone in the whole region. And so they said that, and then the Attorney General, Ken Paxton, came out and said, look, you need to stop that. You need to rescind your mask mandate, or I'm going to sue you. And Austin officials responded by digging in their heels, and so now Paxton has sued them.
This isn't the first time we've seen the city of Austin be somewhat defiant against these state orders. You had a few months ago an incident happen around New Year's Eve as well, right?
Yeah, Austin officials at New Year's Eve tried to impose a curfew on businesses, and at the last minute, the Texas Supreme Court said they couldn't do that. So these Democrat Austin city and county officials have been trying to enact punishments. I mean, a version of their mask mandate last year even included imprisoning a citizen for up to 6 months if they didn't wear a mask, right? So they have tried to fine citizens. They've tried to imprison them for not wearing a mask. And the state officials, the state courts have said, you need to stop.
Not only that, I was looking at the current orders, and it looks like you could actually be fined up to $2,000 under their order for violating any of their COVID-related ordinances. I think what Attorney General Paxton said, he had some pretty comical statement when he was filing this lawsuit. What did he say?
Yeah, so this week when Paxton announced his lawsuit, he tweeted, quote, city and county leaders must not be thinking clearly. Maybe it's oxygen deprivation from quintuple masking. Whatever the case, they've tried this before. They lost, he said. So we'll see what happens with that court case.
It really highlights, though, I mean, you know, on the one hand, obviously, it's a fun thing because, you know, the city of Austin, overstretching their bounds, essentially, and the state having to rein them in. This is something we've seen before. But there's also another story here that I think has been less reported, and that is the relationship, right, between the states and the cities right now, where cities essentially feel empowered to go run around. And the state legislature, right, could have passed legislation months ago to say specifically you can't do this. Instead, Paxton's lawsuit relies on these executive orders.
Right. So there's all this kind of legal confusion happening right now, right, of does the governor's executive order take precedent? Can the cities do what they want? It's a lot of confusion. But ultimately, the blame, like you said, traces back to Governor Abbott and the state legislature. They could have, in January or February, passed a real law with real power that clearly said, look, you cannot enforce these mask mandates. You can't fine citizens. You can't imprison them for not wearing a mask. And that would have been done. That would have settled the issue, mm-hmm. right? But instead, now we're in this kind of foggy land of executive orders and rules that are questionably legal. And so that's how we got to this point.
Right? Well, and the legislature is working on some pieces of legislation. We'll be talking about that in just a second. But thank you so much. We're going to be following that case. I expect it'll probably go right, Supreme Court of Texas.
We're thinking.
Yeah, so we'll see that. Daryl, by the way, watching, says he visited a business in Austin last night without a mask. No one said a thing. Businesses don't want to enforce it. We'll see. We'll see what happens in the Capital City. We'll be following that issue. But right now in the legislature, you had the Texas House holding a hearing on House Bill 3, a controversial piece of pandemic-related legislation that would actually codify and essentially expand the governor's emergency powers during a declared pandemic, like we've seen over the last year with the coronavirus. I went down there. You had lots of activists showing up. You even had the Republican Party of Texas Chairman Alan West showing up. I spoke with a few of them yesterday outside that hearing. Take a look. Stacey Roberts, you drove 7.5 hours to be here in the Capitol today. Here, you're on a number of business, but you also said you're here to testify against House Bill 3. What brought you down here to go testify against that bill?
It's kind of personal to me because, well, I drove 7.5 hours because I believe in our constitutional right and freedoms. But what happened to me on April 26th is I had a heart attack and was unable to get any health care for that because they had closed all the cath labs. I was supposed to have an angiogram, according to the ER doctor, and I couldn't get into an angiogram until mid-June, almost July.
Wow. And so when you look at this bill that's being presented right now and being discussed in committee behind us, what is your message to the lawmakers on that committee and to the lawmakers as a whole who will ultimately vote on this?
Well, there's some good things in it. There's some good gun stuff in it. But, I mean, that can be done separately. It doesn't need to be codified into law into one big bulky disaster act. My personal opinion is the Disaster Act itself was a disaster and gave the governor, and it didn't go through legislation, so it shouldn't have been done in the first place.
This revised committee substitute that they're looking at has a 10-member panel instead of the full legislature to call a session or to end a disaster pandemic. Meanwhile, the Senate's looking at actually having it to where the legislature can end a disaster. Which approach would you prefer?
Well, I think the right approach is the legislature, our elected officials for our districts, all get to make that decision because we voted on them.
Thank you so much. Alexi, what's brought you down to the Capitol here today?
In the words of Ronald Reagan, we're here from the government, we're here to help, is not something you want to hear. We've had enough help from the government in Texas the last 2 years. And HB 3 is adding to that. We don't want any more help from the government. We don't want help for our power to go out in most of the state or a lot of the state during a freeze. We don't want to be illegal to cut hair, to go to church. These things are awful, and they were from the government. We don't need any more help from the government. We can't take any more help from the government. Vote no to let this bill out of committee.
What specifically in the HB 3 bill right now concerns you? Obviously, there's a lot of folks who have come out here to testify against the bill. What's the most concerning aspect of it?
It still focuses too much power in the hands of a few. It has the committee heads from a few of the House committees and the Senate committees, the House Speaker, the Lieutenant Governor on this panel. And guess who appoints the committee heads? The House Speaker and the Lieutenant Governor. So it focuses too much power. I would rather have the Senate and the House convene if we have such an emergency that truly needs government intervention. They are directly accountable to the people in elections. I would rather have them as a body make decisions if absolutely necessary.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Chairman Alan West, obviously they're considering House Bill 3, which has been a bill that's gained a lot of controversy. Of course, one of the Republican Party of Texas's priorities is reforming emergency powers. How does House Bill 3 relate to that RPT priority?
Well, I think we have to be very concerned about, you know, in the case of an emergency, allowing some of the executive overreach, executive powers to be codified into law, and that's exactly what you see happening with HB 3. And as a matter of fact, one of the members of the State Affairs Committee asked Representative Burroughs about that, in that there was some doublespeak in the language of his bill, which says that it cannot be used in law, but then he comes back and refers to a previous, I think, Section 418, where it says it can be used into law. And I think that's the most important thing. We don't want to see an executive, and we don't want to see orders, mandates, edicts, and decrees that can be interpreted and made into law, because the only people that can make law or amend law is the legislative branch.
Is this a bill that you think can be amended or can be another substitute to where it's acceptable or it meets those Republican sort of expectations, or is this, you know, is this a lost cause, for another word?
No, I made the recommendation in my written testimony that they should go and look at Senator Brian Birdwell's legislation, because it does provide the governor the leeway to deal with an emergency, in this case, pandemic. But it also says that the legislature has to come in and be involved and engaged after X amount of days, which should have happened in this pandemic when we saw 22 different executive actions. You think about when the governor, in this case, appropriated $275 million to a company for contact tracing. Well, the only people that's supposed to be appropriating taxpayer dollars is the legislature. And that's why we have budget committees, and that's why we have these representatives. So it's things like that we got to make sure that aren't repeated.
We're coming up here on the bill filing deadline this week. How do you feel about the status right now of those Republican Party of Texas priorities?
We've got a lot of bills that have been filed against those priorities. A little bit, you know, hopefully we'll get more filed for school choice, because when you look at those people that are most adversely affected by these school shutdowns and lockdowns are the inner city kids who are already in failing schools, and now they're being pushed even further behind. So we want to make sure that parents have the ability to choose what is best for their children, because education is the way that you unlock the opportunities of this great nation and this state.
Excellent. Thank you so much, sir. Appreciate it.
Thanks,
Mimi, you're testifying against House Bill 3. Why are you here testifying against it today?
Well, I'm here today because we're kind of sick of it. We're tired of, I've spent the last year dealing with nothing but issues in my own household, in my own church, in my own school, as a school teacher. Just basically fighting back against the government intrusion into our lives at this point in time. Yes, we had cultural crisis, but at this point in time, they're asking for more overreach. And even in its revised version, House Bill 3 has a lot of serious issues. If an appointed committee of 10 can become very partisan overnight, and depending upon which way the House swings. And in doing so, you could have an all-Republican or an all-Democrat board controlling what happens in emergency situations without the legal authority to do so. The House are our elected members, our legal authority that represent us as the people. And to appoint a sector of them who are partisan leaning is really not a fair representation of the people themselves. We need fair representation even when it comes to emergency powers. We've watched the overreach of the governor. We've watched the overreach of county officials who think they have permission to do things that they really didn't have permission to do, and the people just bow. We cannot tolerate that anymore. We need better solutions, and House Bill 3 is not a good solution to this. You know, to me, the best solution at this point in time is allow the House itself to deal with this, but I do know that there's a need for emergency management. So we need an emergency management plan that represents the people and how they feel without the level of overreach into our daily lives. We need freedom and not government overpower.
Excellent. Perfect. Thank you so much. Well, certainly of the testimony there, testimony that went, about 6 hours or so, was very, very clear. I mean, you had a large group of lobbyists essentially that were out there in favor of the legislation, and then you had grassroots people, some of whom who had driven, as you had seen, you know, as much as 7-8 hours actually going there and testifying against the bill. Very interesting to note from Chairman Alan West, who we just saw, his statement, pretty strong on it, said HB 3 will codify unconstitutional actions by an executive into law. No emergency is grounds for the suspension of the rule of law, and no executive at any level of government is above the rule of law. West, of course, encouraging members of the House to support Senate Bill 1025 and Joint Resolution 45 by Senator Brian Birdwell. That's the Senate's approach right now to this pandemic powers issue. Now, another big issue that happened this week, it was pretty interesting to see. It was a tale that happened in about 4 or 5 days. Now, last Friday, you had Governor Greg Abbott holding a press conference in Tyler with State Senator Brian Hughes on Senate Bill 12, legislation that would protect the First Amendment. I mean, this is a quote. He says, "We see that the First Amendment is under assault by the social media companies, and that is not going to be tolerated in Texas." Well, just 5 days later, Governor Greg Abbott changed his tune, putting out a late-night video on Wednesday claiming that Gab, one of those alternate social media free speech platforms, much like Parler and some others, claiming that they were anti-Semitic and that such companies have no place in Texas and certainly do not represent Texas values. Now, what you saw after that was the Republican Party of Texas, who does have a Gab account, and a lot of people do, I'm sure some of y'all do, crying out and saying, wait, this looks a little hypocritical, going after some of this censorship. And so a lot of backlash right there. Republican Party of Texas speaking out and saying they're keeping their account. They appreciate the First Amendment and speaking out against Governor Greg Abbott on that. So pretty interesting misstep to see from the governor, to say the least. We're going to see a deluge of bills today. Today is the bill filing deadline. Okay, at 6 o'clock p.m. That means at 6 o'clock p.m., whatever grand idea you might have for a bill that should be filed is probably going to have to wait a couple years, okay? Because at 6 o'clock p.m., bills are not going to be able to be filed anymore. And so what that means is that throughout the day today, you know, I think we're going to be seeing a lot of important legislation that has otherwise kind of waited until the last minute start to be filed, not unlike, you know, watching some students in school doing their assignments at the last minute. But you do see some bills coming out. You've got Senate Bill 7, which is a big election integrity package that already has 12 authors in the Senate. You have another Senate Bill 10, which is a bill to prevent taxpayer-funded lobbying from cities and counties. That has the support of about 10 senators as well right out of the gate. And then you have, even this morning, Representative Mays Middleton in the Texas House filing a bill to abolish the Texas Alcoholic Beverage Commission, who has come under fire for their closure, their heavy-handed enforcement of some of these closing mandates during the summer. They were actually out there shutting down bars and restaurants for 30 days at a time. We're going to have articles up on all three of those at texasscorecard.com throughout the day today. And so please check that out. But again, 6 o'clock p.m. If you've, like I said, if there's a bill you have not seen filed, today's the last day, right? Today's the chance there. You can see, if you care about the priorities of the Republican Party of Texas or the Democrat parties, we've got a tracker up at texasscorecard.com where you can see that for the most part at this point, you've got most of the priorities being filed in both the chambers, in the House and the Senate. The next step there is going to be to see what ends up happening after committee hearings. So committee hearings have been set for the last week or so. Those will continue happening over the next month or so. This is really a part in the process where if there's a particular piece of legislation you care about, now is the time to be calling your lawmaker and making sure that bill gets through committee, if that's something that you care about. And of course, you can contact your lawmakers, find out how to get a hold of them, checking out our directory at texasscorecard.com as well. So two cool tools there, our Texas Scorecard directory and our Texas Scorecard legislative priority tracker. Thank you to everybody watching. Debbie says Dictator Abbott in 2020 was Newsom Light, referring to the governor of California. HB3 gives us more of Dictator Abbott. Of course, that piece of legislation being very controversial, especially because it doesn't have a trigger for the legislature to call a special session, essentially allowing the governor to go out and issue whatever mandates without any checks or balances for 18, 19 months out of the year when the legislature's not in session. And so, like I said, a lot of folks showing some concerns with that. But again, thank you to everybody watching. If you have any questions, please feel free to leave them in the comments. For right now, have a great weekend. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to The Headline from Texas Scorecard, We're live every Friday at 11 a.m. on the Texas Scorecard Facebook page to talk about the biggest stories of the week. So check us out there or listen to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, whatever platform you prefer. And while you're there, you can also check out the ever-growing line of podcasts and programming provided by Texas Scorecard.